What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we continue where we left off, let's hear who we have at the table, players and characters. Han, will you begin?
Hello, I'm Hannah, and I'm playing Winnie, Guardian of the Shared Sky.
Brennan?
Hi, I'm Brennan. I'm playing Brother Arcos Gerard, Priest of Feria.
And Rob?
I'm Rob, playing Magnus Vale, Master of Day and Night.
And I am Amelia Somm, your GM, and we are going to rewind time just ever so slightly as you all stand looking toward the gate to Ulfair, the Twilight Wilds. Han. As Winnie prepares to guide her friend into this land, what does she have to say to them?
All right, so she definitely has everyone in like a semicircle and is standing in the middle of them.
I like to imagine that you are standing, you're about to open the gate, and then you pause and rotate, just swivel around, looking at this group of people ready to file in behind you.
Okay, yeah, for sure. All right, so... okay, most of you are newbies to... this realm. What the main thing you need to understand, first of all, rule number one, let's say this first, don't ever leave the group. Don't ever go anywhere by yourself in a plane that you are not familiar with. Agree?
How else are you going to explore it?
With other people at your side, so you don't disappear and we'll never find you ever again, because that's happened before.
I trust you implicitly, Winnie. I'd be lying if I didn't say this whole ordeal makes me a mite bit nervous.
All right, well, if you stick to my side and listen to everything I have to say, we shouldn't have any problems. Yeah?
I...
shouldn't or won't. Some degree of certainty here.
I mean, I can't guarantee you anything, but you just have to listen to what I have to say, and that is the closest thing that I can guarantee that you and everyone else in this group will be safe.
If it were anybody but you. All right. What's the worst that could happen?
Oh, a lot of things. A lot of things that I won't go into right now, but to start off, we're not actually going anywhere super dangerous to begin with. That being said, I don't know where we're going to be sent once we go talk with Morovi. So we are going to be going into the autumnal court, which is where my wife is from. We will be speaking with her family, who is one of the families in charge of the autumnal court, to get more information on where we need to go. The autumnal court is pretty good about having rules and government and people in charge and all that. But again, don't know where we're going to be sent. So the thing you need to remember about going into Ulfair is that your words mean more than your actions. So if someone comes up to you and starts asking you some questions, you don't answer them, or at least you think really hard before answering them. So I'm going to turn to Craig and say, hello, sir. May I have your name?
No.
Perfect. Perfect answer. No, or you just keep walking, or you tell me what's going on. Tell one of us what's going on.
I mean, it's what I did when I met you guys.
You know, that's that's true. Everyone should just follow Craig's example. And then I'm going to turn to...
Craig smirks a little bit.
I'm going to turn to Arkos and say, may I have a moment of your time?
Absolutely. Wait. No.
Wrong. Bam. Years taken off your life from just saying that.
Good God.
That's what I mean. You got to be super careful. So again, don't talk to anyone that you don't trust. Don't talk to anyone you don't recognize. Don't answer any questions that you're not completely certain of. All right. Understood?
Absolutely.
Magnus, I know you've been here before, but we will be in the presence of, again, my family. So I expect good behavior.
Hey, I'm always just the pinnacle of propriety, especially around the snot-nosed elves.
Snot-nosed.
All right, I guess that's good enough for me. Now, is all of this understood? Once again, I just want to make sure you're all going to be under my watchful eye. I have a place of status in this place, so I am a little bit respected, so no one should be looking down on you or wanting to bring you harm or anything like that. So just stick by my side. Again, follow those rules. Are we understood?
I just want to point out, as you're saying, that we have to follow all of these rules or else we're going to get surreptitiously bamboozled by the Fae, and yet you're saying, oh, nothing will go wrong, they mean us no harm, nobody should mess with us.
That is not what I said. I said, probably nothing will go wrong in the place where we are starting. But if we, for some reason, get sent to, say, if we get sent to the Vernal Court, or the Court of the Dawn, or, God forbid, the open realm. I can't promise anything there.
Open realm?
It is a completely ungoverned space. Land ownership is not a common practice anywhere there. And it is not actively controlled or maintained by a court.
Oh, no. Not a place that lacks land ownership. The horror of having decentralized land. Oh, terrible. Well, yes, we'll follow your every step to make sure that we don't go to the place of open plains, I guess. No houses around here. Fucking spooky.
If we get sent to an area that is not controlled by any sort of rules and just has people... with unimaginable power coming up to us, I just want to make sure that we're covered.
I'm a big fan of rules myself.
And if there aren't any, then there's none to break, and I can just lit anything on fire.
I think you've lit at least one too many things on fire as it is.
As long as you don't do it in, like, a place that matters to me, I don't give a shit, honestly.
Oh, well, that's a rule I can follow.
Okay. Are we all ready to go in now? Everyone got all your stuff together?
As I'll ever be.
All right, let's go. She opens the gate.
You place your hand on that threshold, and as the magic materializes, you push through. Now, Winnie, you know, Ulfair is... Time and space are not related in the same way as they are on Kraith. So what emotion are you feeling as you cross this threshold? You are the one who is leading the group.
Yeah, I think it's very refreshing. If I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ulfair is not under the same sort of stress of death that Kraith is. So, coming into a world that is not plagued with a literal, you know, material plague, also to a place that has become a second home for Winnie is just, like, quite literally like a breath of fresh air. It's more magic, you know, here. The land is magic. Winnie has spent a lot of time connecting to it. So this is just like, it's just a feeling of coming to a very familiar place that you've spent a lot of time in. It's very refreshing, very energizing for Winnie. But she's also keeping in mind that this is completely new territory for most of the people here. So she's keeping her guard up and watching out for them.
Yeah. And what I will say is, as you've gone through this gate many times, you don't always end up in the exact same location. You're in right. The general same area. It is a safe place. You're not worried about anything like that. And so while you are remaining wary of your traveling companions and alert, I can't help but think that Winnie is probably on cloud nine. And as you walk through, you take your steps and you feel your hair begin to stand straight up on end. And the rest of you, as you file in behind, notice that. And then if you're wearing any sort of necklace, anything loose, it is also being pulled straight upward.
My holy symbol, what is this?
And as you look in that direction, you find you're looking down. You are all have walked in upside down, and you're standing in the clouds. And just like the way it feels looking at an airplane in a daydream, they're spongy. You sink in a little bit. You can feel the mist at mid-calf, and it is soft. And I think Winnie would know that you don't have a threat of falling. You can take light little jumps as you bound your way. In which direction?
Down?
Yeah, do you just want to jump down?
I mean, if there's a safe way down rather than just jumping, that would be great. Otherwise, I can spend power points to, like, manipulate water or whatever, if that's needed.
So right now, you are on the underside of clouds. It is twilight. Silvery, purpley blues swirl in the sky. There's ambient light from all of the many, many stars, and the ambient energy reflecting off each of these clouds. What would Winnie think would be a safe way to get down?
Again, she probably normally just jumps to a nearby thing. But again, this not being a place of, you know, this being a place where everyone else with her is not totally familiar with the physicality of it and the physics of it. I think moving the clouds in any way she can to kind of make like a staircase down somehow.
If you want to move the clouds, you can spend the proper power points.
Okay.
And you take your hands, kind of clasping them together almost in prayer, extending from behind your body out further. You separate them, and the cloud that you are walking on spirals almost like a half pipe, making a nice smooth curve that if you walk along, would orient yourselves right side up. And from there, you see two sort of platforms, and they create a sort of infinite staircase where you walk from one, the other moves below and below, as you all, assuming you follow Winnie's lead, can very gently make your way down to the ground.
Yeah, I think as she's doing that, she goes, "All right, nobody panic. This happens sometimes." And then she just, as she says that, is moving things. Just very gently down to the ground.
Would I be panicking? Can I roll to not panic?
Roll to keep cool?
Yeah. I think that's, I guess roll to, like, not be shaken.
Oh my god, well? I shouldn't have said anything. I don't need combat damage. I just want to see if I'm nervous. What's that, toughness?
You asked to roll dice, I'm gonna let you roll dice. You roll the not dice, those you roll the dice.
Okay,
is you that... don't get to pick the dice, I'm the GM.
Alright, is that... What's the shaking?
I think it's
rule?
A spirit. Spirit. I think it's spirit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, spirit plus a...
It would be super disorienting to look up and, like, see a long fall down. Like, that would be a very, like, strange.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it would be, like, I'm, like, imagining it, and it's, like, making me nauseous trying to, like, visualize what that would be like.
Yeah.
So, dizzying. I don't know how this makes sense narratively, but I fucking got a 16. I did not expect to... Actually, no, I exploded, too.
Oh, you're super chill, probably. You're 17. Super chill and cool.
Yeah,
I'm just closing my eyes. I don't know.
Instead, I think what happens is, Arcos, you look up, which is down, and see the long fall ahead of you, and you instinctively turn your gaze back. And when you do, you see Winnie completely sure of herself, making light work of this situation, just very effortlessly, and doing so in a way that it seems that she's done this dozens of times before. And noticing that, when you look down and see the fall, it's hard to not just appreciate the view. And going through everything you've been going through the past few days and weeks, I think where you might once have found fear, you find a sort of comfort.
It's beautiful.
Also, I'm just making this decision now. I think Winnie's hair always matches the sky here. So it doesn't really match Kraith, but whenever it's changing to match Ulfair. So like whatever the sky is now, whether it's day or night or some mixture in between, that's what Winnie's hair looks like right now.
I will be fair, it is either twilight or dawn most of the time.
Cool.
Perfect. Yeah. And I would say it's a different kind of... We don't need to get into, like, the day and night, the not day and not night and not cycles day of Ulfair, right. But day and night.
Done, free this mind at night. Fucking love that song.
You all head down to the ground, and Winnie, you would know the best way to find your way to your home away from home, is to lead with your heart. And so what does Winnie think about to focus on heading back toward the house of the autumnal court?
I think she focuses on a memory. She would think about Envy bringing her here for the first time when they were teenagers. So I think she would just replay that memory in her head, and she would instantly know where to go.
Yeah, you replay this memory of two young girls kind of not stumbling through the trees, but going off of the beaten path. Envy taking a scenic route. And even though she was incredibly risk averse, there's still an element of playfulness, especially for someone who had probably, by that point when she took you home, had only been to Ulfair. I think that was your first time, actually. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Who had never really been in this land. It's sort of like taking someone to a tourist trap. When they visit, they're like, ah, this is so cool. And they think that's how everything is. You seeing all these things that seem like fantastical and magical and to envy, it's just like, yeah, if I take this person across these things, they'll have a great time. Yeah. We're never really in any danger.
Yeah.
And that just feeling of like youthful innocence and excitement, and the first time you really discovered how wide the world and worlds could be, and you saw all of it in her. Just a little bit of a crush. Kind of kids do, where they don't really know what they're getting into. And it guided you to another home in the same way that feeling guides you today. And as you all begin to make your way, it's a little bit of a walk. Can you roll me a notice, Winvy? Winvy.
Winvy.
Winnie.
That's their
celebrity name.
I really need to not do my notes this way. Notice. Okie dokie. That plus two. Yeah. Okay. That is 9.
With a 9, as you are making your way toward the V family house, something catches your eye. Just a little bit to the left of where you currently are. There isn't really a north, south, east, or west, but maybe 50 yards to your left. Something out of place. Something flitting in the distance.
Okay, can I examine it further? Can I kind of wander towards it?
Yeah, you begin walking in that way. You're about where you saw it, and you look around, make another notice check.
I'm gonna spend a Benny on that one, because that wasn't super great.
Did you see something, Winnie?
I think so. Just a little, nothing big.
Are you staying put, or are you guys all following Winnie?
I'll let her do her thing. She's better in the woods.
7 for that one.
Yeah. With the 7, you see this glowing pink light, and it darts off in the same direction. Another 20 yards, maybe.
Do I recognize the shade of pink?
No, actually.
Darts 20 yards. Is it going in the direction we're going?
It's going in the same direction you've moved 50 yards in.
Okay. Y'all just stay here for a second. I'm going to follow it.
Aren't you the one that said that we should all stick together?
Well, I've been here a million times, so just keep yourself safe.
Oh, well, then who's in charge? Rules for us, but not for you, huh?
I ignore that. I keep going.
Who's in charge while you're gone, Winnie?
Come into Old Fair with me, she said. Follow the rules, she said. I'll be right back, she said. And then she's dead, I bet.
Quit whining.
All right. Everybody calm down. Calm down.
How far would you follow this thing, Winnie?
I don't want to go, like, so far as to where I'm following it for more than, like, 10 minutes.
Okay. How fast does Winnie move?
Pace is 8. Whatever that means. Okay,
cool. Yeah. You begin, following this. You were already 70 yards away, which for the Americans out there is like almost a football field.
Almost, not quite.
Not quite.
It's a half a football field, including the end zone.
Oh yeah, true. As you keep going, this thing sort of picks up pace a little bit. It zigzags, it glows bright. You don't get more than a few feet away from it. You go for about 10 minutes over this through this sort of thick brush. Those of you who are staying behind, you can't even see Winnie anymore.
Yeah, she's 70 yards away in forest.
Just left you behind.
That's so far into the woods.
I'm playing.
If you walked like almost 100 yards straight into the woods, you would be so far away comparatively.
Yeah, and 70 yards before she kept going for 10 minutes, mind you.
She's fine.
She's fine. And Winnie, as you approach, it seems to rest in this clearing. And there is a single toadstool that it hovers right above in the center.
Okay, I'm going to reach out to touch, not the toadstool, but the glowing pink thing.
You reach out to this glowing pink thing. And you feel something reach out of it and grab your wrist before you can make contact. What do you do in that moment? You don't see anything, but you feel a hand clenched tight around your arm.
So it feels sinister, yeah?
You feel a hand clenched around your arm.
Yeah. I'm gonna take out my dagger.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, like, slash at it.
At the little, the small light?
Yeah, whatever's grabbing me, yeah.
I mean, you don't see anything. Like, there is the small growing light, and you feel an arm, like, you feel a hand around your arm, but you don't see a hand. So are you going for, like, the light itself, or trying to stab where you feel the hand?
Well, I don't want to stab myself.
That's, like, always a good thing to not do.
I'll still take out my dagger, but I'll try to pull my hand out first.
Yeah. You take your dagger, you try and pull your hand free, and this thing is held on tight, but you can sort of feel like a weight on it as if there is some kind of a body or something that is attached to this.
Okay, so it's like, it's letting my arm move, like it's not restraining it in any way.
Correct. It's like it's not even trying to like pull you in, it's trying to hold on.
Okay. Gotcha. And the light's still there?
Yeah, on the toadstool. You've like pulled back up and it's like, I mean, it's like kind of a comically large toadstool. It's probably like a foot wide, but as you said, the light is still hovering right above it.
All right, I'm gonna pull it like kind of up to my face, where I would imagine that whatever's holding on, where I could be like facing it.
Yeah.
Hello there.
You feel a second hand. Both of these are bony and taut. Reach out and reach out and grab your throat.
All right, I'm going to smash the toadstool. I'm going to stomp on it.
You stomp on the toadstool and you still feel these invisible hands.
Okay. If you'll let me do something, I'm going to do summon ally.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagined whenever I was picking this power that like what I would be doing is calling a fae from this realm. Cause it's, you know, that's where Winnie's power comes from. That's what I just kind of imagined it would be. So I'm going to summon an ally and see if it can help me with whatever the fuck's going on right now.
Great. Do I have your permission to fuck with this a little bit?
Yeah, if you don't kill me, sure.
I'm not gonna kill you.
Okay.
Kill her.
Well, I'm not gonna kill you right now, at least.
Okay. Jesus.
As you summon this fae, it's this sort of like, you kind of look out. You're not in full panic mode, but you've been less panicked before.
Uh-huh.
And so you sort of look and with your free arm reach out to a nearby tree calling forth. It's like the spirit of the tree emerges from the bark, and the spirit floats down before you. And as it looks toward you, you see it almost like glitches in place. And it's sort of this friendly, soft energy gnarls and twists. And you feel extending from it these branches, like another hand grabbing your wrist, all of these pulling Winnie toward the ground. And in her ear, she hears, "You lie!"
Now I'm panicking. What the fuck? Fuck. Shit.
Right. And these are all pulling you toward the ground, and you feel more invisible hands kind of grabbing your legs and your waist and just sort of pulling you down toward the dirt.
All right. One last saving grace, hopefully. I'm going to use teleport to teleport me out of this. Hopefully this works to get me out of the grasp of whatever's happening.
Yeah, are you just going back to your frenzies?
Yeah, it only teleports me 12 feet, but I'm just hoping that it will just get me out so I can bolt.
Yeah, you teleport 12 feet away in the direction. You're slightly outside of the clearing in some trees, and you just start running. And you can feel, even as you're running, some of those hands. It's kind of like running you know those foam things that hang in a car wash?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It feels almost like that. Like occasionally some of those are like grabbing and pulling you, but you just keep running and you're focused on getting toward your friends. And eventually the hands, I guess they're left behind, or they stop pulling, or you're outrunning them, or you're maybe so full of adrenaline that whatever thought that you had laying somewhere that they could have been feeding on or drawn to was so far pushed out of your mind that you get several tens of yards and you can stop and catch your breath if you want.
Just for a second. Just for a second.
And you feel the forest around you, that sort of heightened wrongness that you felt as your ally twisted into something else, dissipated. You turn and glance back, and you see the tree spirit that you summoned floating benignly, as they usually do, waiting for your next command.
I'm gonna fucking...
Or request.
I'm gonna disband it, just like, dismiss it.
You do so.
Oh, God. Okay. And I'm just going to go back to the group. I am freaked out by that.
So with no problem. And you all, by the time Winnie heads back, probably no longer running at max speed, but just sort of jogging, walking. It's pretty thick. It weirdly enough feels like it takes longer for you to get back, even though you know you're running faster and you knew the way better.
Mm-hmm.
But you join the rest.
Magnus just like looks at you and just like cricks an eyebrow up, just like, Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Let's move forward. That was not what I was expecting. So let's just keep moving. And she goes.
Straight up no explanation on what just happened.
Well, I mean, it was kind of scarring, but I don't know. Someone couldn't see was reaching out toward me, and I called a spirit to try to help me out, and it got warped too. And I'm a little freaked out by it because I've never seen anything like that in here. So I would just like to go somewhere safe. If that's all right with you.
I'm sorry. What even prompted you to go that direction?
Can I elbow Magnus really quick? And just be like,
your undying curiosity is not always the right thing to do, Magnus.
No, Arcos, it's fine. It's a fair question. I saw a little pink light, and I decided to follow it.
Ah. Magnus is gonna, like, look askance at Julian, like, just give him a look of, like, what? like, why? And then look back at you and be like, so basically the thing that you warned us not to do, you did.
Yeah.
And yes. It didn't turn out well.
However, the difference being, again, I am the guardian of these literal parts, so I do know what to expect, as opposed to the rest of y'all who are not usually here. I don't know if anyone else might have been able to get themselves out of that situation, but here I am, and now we're moving somewhere safe.
Magnus crosses his arms and says, do you think that we're so useless that we'd be of no help in a dangerous situation?
Well, perhaps not you, but if it were Craig or Julian or Askarath, who have never been here before, and I kind of do a second glance at Julian, like, you haven't been here before, right? Then I don't know what it could have been for them.
Oh, Julian shrugs. So I remember that this is a podcast, and if I just shrug, people can't see
it. Listen, it's fine. I would just like to get out of here.
Well, lead the way then.
You're moving forward.
And forward you move. As you head through this forest, I realize I never described quite what it looked like. Each of the different families, it's hard to say if they are named after the seasons their courts represent or if the courts are named after. If the courts are named after the seasons that the area represents or if the areas in the mortal planes are named after what the courts are.
I get you.
Pretend any of those words made sense. Y'all get the gist. Anyways, there's red, okay? It is. There are these beautifully thick, deep brown tree trunks with a fiery smattering of yellow, oranges, reds, and browns, and occasionally just the faintest green that never quite lasts. Something, something, nature's first green is gold, blah, blah, blah. And a beautiful, satisfying crunch noise. As you make your way through these lands, some dappled stones across what is very clearly a trail in these woods. Winnie, as you navigate, you are almost always able to find the trails between each of the courts and any of the gates that lead back to Kraith. Gates that lead elsewhere or other uncharted territories are more of a mixed bag for you. But especially for mortal standards, I would say you're probably incomparable with the way that you navigate through the Twilight Wilds. And there's just a soft breeze. Feels like a beautiful, crisp autumn morning. As you make your way through to a small cabin. Now, the bulk of the autumnal court lies hidden behind and beneath the trees and illusions and magic, but this first cabin, Winnie, is where you expect to see a familiar face. Shelby, who often sits at the outermost waypoint, greeting all who may come, whether their intentions are good or bad, kind of depends on which Shelby you'll meet.
Okay. I will approach the cabin slowly and knock on the door.
You knock on the door and you hear some rustling, a piece of wood hitting wood. A slide of metal against stone as a little peephole is opened up and you see an eye staring at you with a beautiful pink iris. And they say, state your business.
Hachel.
State your business.
I'm here to see you, of course.
All right, and who might be here to see me? I get so many visitors, you know, it's hard to keep track.
Just your sister-in-law. Nothing crazy.
Sister-in-law. I have so many sisters-in-law.
Oh, could but you? It's your favorite one, though.
It's my favorite one. And she is here.
Oh. A pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't... Oh, how long has it been for you? And she opens the door and gives you a huge hug.
I hug her back.
Oh my goodness. How long has it been since you were here last?
Too long. I'll say that.
Was Aravi... What did Aravi's hair look like the last time you were here?
It was too long.
Oh. You have been gone for so long.
I know. I've been busy. It's been...
Always busy. And you never hang out with your favorite... sister-in-law.
Well, I'm here to do that now, aren't I?
Yes. And you've brought friends.
I have brought friends. We are on a little bit of a business trip. But
you're always on a business trip.
I'm always on a business trip. That's how it is, saving the world. Saving one of the planes.
Is Winnie this boring to you guys too?
She told me not to talk to strangers.
You told them not to talk to strangers. Well, how inconsiderate. Hello. You can call me Chelvy, and may I have your name?
No, absolutely not.
That's very impolite of you.
No.
I'm called by most people Magnus.
Well, by most people Magnus, thank you so much for gracing me with your presence. No. And... Oh, who is this spring rose? Ask Karath.
Spring rose.
Well, I absolutely, I love your energy, Ask Karath. Maybe you can hang out here with me. Oh? You brought some cute boys. Who are these two? Oh my gosh. And she goes up and, Chelvy is this beautiful, young, elven, like, Aladrin fae. She is, honestly, probably about above average height for a human, but short for a fae. She is about, like, 5'10"-ish, has this beautiful, curly, deep, navy hair that goes down to her waist. It is different colors almost every single time you see her, Winnie.
Yeah.
These bright pink irises and a lovely medium tan skin. She's wearing a dress that looks like it's made from sewing flower buds together, and you just see just about no duplicates of a single flower. Just around her chest and down into a beautiful long train. And she has thrown both of her arms around Julian and Craig and is kind of holding their cheeks like, Winnie, you never bring friends my age. Can they hang out here with me?
If that's okay with them.
They both just kind of like,
Julian, here. Eyes up here, buddy. Keep your head in the game.
Yeah. My head's in the game. I'm in the game.
Yeah, you're in something, all right.
Okay, well, if you want to go do business, go do business.
Well, we'll be back real soon. I can't stay away from you from that long.
Oh, right. Well, of course not. I mean, you do stay away from a very long time. Did you bring me back any presents?
Winnie's gonna reach into her bag and pull out one of the pastries from Rel that she kept.
And what is this?
This is a chocolate croissant.
Chocolate croissant. You always bring me the darndest things. Oh, I absolutely adore this. Well, and she kind of looks at, Craig and Julian expectantly, and Julian says, well, she says, aren't you going to invite me in? and they just kind of look confused, and she just kind of storms inside and kind of goes behind where you can't see her. And then you guys are all just sort of standing out there, and she says, "Are you coming or not?" And Julian and Craig are just kind of looking at each other and sort of just, I guess, wander in, and then the door, they leave the door open behind them, and they go into this cabin to hang out.
They'll be fine, I promise.
They're fucking doomed. There's no way she's actually the same age as Julian, right? Isn't she like several hundred years old?
I was wondering the same thing.
She is about as young as she looks. She's only in her 20s.
How long do these people live for?
Oh, centuries.
Huh.
A lot of recent births around the Fae Kingdom, eh?
Well, yeah, right here, but I'm sure as we follow our lead a little bit more, we're looking for the older ones, so we'll see the elderly soon, I'm sure.
Hmm. And as we're walking, Magnus sort of like takes a moment and says,
"Say, they said that it's been a while since you've been around here. Why, what's kept you away for so long?"
"You two, honestly. I mean, I used to visit more, so it seems like a long time for them, but, you know, we had stuff to do."
"Yeah, I suppose we did, but, well, you could have sort of come back at any time, really. We weren't always fighting or doing something for the past 2 years.
I made it back to my siblings at least twice. Visited my parents.
I mean, I ride all the time. They're just a little dramatic. They miss having me here."
"Aye. Yes, I can imagine a family full of cheddars would be a bit, bit much."
"They're not all as energetic as her, but she is quite a presence to have."
"A bit daffy. I guess I'm one to talk."
"Yeah, well, let's move on. Gotta move forward."
And as you've been walking, you, in order to progress further, actually walked through the center of a tree, Winnie, as you've been here many, many times, you know, your way in and out through.
Of course.
There's some small-scale teleportation where you, like, walk in through one tree, come out another. There's a waterfall that's not a waterfall sort of situation. And at some point, Winnie takes you all to a large opening where the wood becomes an empty field. And there is nothing but plains for about a half mile, at least, and then the woods slowly pick up on the other side. And Winnie, you know this is it.
Yeah. "Welcome to the autumnal court." She kind of just gestures around.
"Here?"
"Yeah, I mean, it's a little hidden. It's not quite in plain sight, but I'm going to keep going."
As Winnie takes a couple steps forward, she entirely disappears.
"Ah, I see. Hidden in plain sight, eh? All right."
Magnus is going to follow her after.
You do so. Askarath kind of looks sideways at you, Arcos, and takes a step in as well.
Can't beat them, join them. And I'm going to walk in after Askarath.
And you all find yourself in a land not entirely unlike, what's it called? Forlorn. You can see it's almost, as if you've known Forlorn your entire life, or that sort of architecture. Arcos, you have. And you are now seeing the artwork that was a ripoff of. Similarly to the style of Forlorn, you see this beautiful architecture melded seamlessly with these large trees, except the trees themselves are also constructions of edifice, painstakingly crafted out of materials you might not be entirely familiar with. I think, Magnus, you probably have a pretty good working knowledge of the different sorts of materials that exist on the magical periodic table that exists in this world, more so than the common person, especially ones made in the Feywild. And this city, unlike Forlorn, which is a winding, sprawling sort of outward spread, it does do that, but the roadwork, instead of winding like meandering paths, is almost laid out like a clockwork pattern, like the movement and channels on an astrolabe. And the city extends upward, where tree branches in a forest extend out. These come up and down, forming archways and walkways and paths. And the city itself is roughly 4 stories high inside and outside. I mentioned when you went to Rel that you could see where the city had been built on itself over the past 1,000, maybe 1,000+ years. Here, everything is an architecture style that is unfamiliar and ancient, and yet it is all brand new and shining. And the vibrant blood of red seems to be reflected everywhere throughout this city, that warm autumn feeling. There are fires upon fires and lit torches that don't give off smoke and never die out. It is warm, it is cozy, and there is light and life everywhere. And most importantly, no one seems to give a shit about y'all being there.
I'm going to be like, Arcos is going to just be in awe, and then say to Winnie,
Winnie, have you ever seen a beautiful painting depicting a landscape? The artwork is the brushstrokes. It captures the essence of a valley or something perfectly.
I have seen beautiful paintings, but nothing compares to this.
I grew up in and around Forlorn, the forest. Seeing this place feels like I've been staring at a painting all my life, and now I'm seeing it in person for the first time. Breathtaking.
How does it feel?
I don't have words to describe it. Just staring at a painting, then opening up a door to the real place.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I first came here.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Bit busy on the eyes, but, you know.
Not all of us live in a dark tower haunted by a mother-in-law, Magnus. Enjoy nature.
I do. It's just this is sort of like looking at nature folding in on itself 1,000 times with intricacies that go down to a microscopic level. It's just a lot to take in.
Well, do you expect the Fae to be subtle about this sort of thing?
Anybody that has that much time on their hands is going to be showing off one way or another, I assure you.
Magnus, can you make an occult check, I think, is what I want.
Yeah, that's a vibe. Occult for me is going to be a D10. Hey, I got a 6 on that die, so that explodes. So that's going to be 14 on the old gold check.
As Magnus, as you say that, and you mentioned something about how it feels like nature folding in on itself, I think a part of you recalls how that sort of philosophy, I guess, relates to some of the fractal work that you saw in those ancient, natural, almost seamlessly woven runes.
I suppose, Arcos, in the same way that Forlorn is an inspiration of the architecture of the Feywilds. Part of me doesn't wonder if perhaps the Feywilds are inspired by some other higher plane that we don't know about.
Higher plane still. Sounds of maybe divine importance, perhaps, or if you could call it that. Godly, good or bad, neutral.
I think whatever it is, it might just be Mausolea. Which is why we came here in the first place. Winnie, who exactly are we going to be talking to?
We are speaking with my mother-in-law, who is keeper of lore around here. She is about a century and a half old. Envy's family is in power alongside three other families, so pretty influential. She's very nice. I imagine we go in with a lot of grace and reverence.
We'll follow your lead. It's your family. Did you... Well, are you on good terms with the rest of the family?
Oh, yeah. They love me. They have kind of warmed up to me a little bit more after Envy's death. 5 years ago, they kind of see her in me. So, they like having me around.
It's just, I know you're probably being genuine. This just sounds so sus to Magnus. Because in Magnus's head, he's like, this is a human woman that married an elf maiden and took her to the mortal world, and that elf maiden got killed. And so Magnus feels...
Does he think that I killed her? Jesus.
No. But that's sort of like the classic conflict of like mortality between the Fae and the mortals. That's like the exact scenario why Fae tell their kids not to fuck mortals.
But yeah.
And so, I don't know. Can Magnus make a cheeky little just like insight check to see if Winnie's like hiding something about this interaction?
Yeah.
Go ahead. She's been acting very, very strange. Okay, notice. It's also a d10. It's a 7.
With a 7, I think you're trying to see if, like, Winnie is hiding something or she's saying something to, like, protect your feelings or to protect you. And as far as you can tell, she seems pretty on the level about it.
Ugh, this is so, like... This is gonna bug Magnus. Part of Magnus just doesn't believe that in-laws are gonna be reasonable, and he thinks the Fae are crazy, and so he's, like, doubly sure that this is about to be a terrible situation.
I'm sorry that Magnus has trauma that Winnie simply doesn't have.
Is it trauma or just life experience when there's a literal ghost haunting you? Like, is it...
I mean, I know it's, like, weird for someone to actually get along with their in-laws, especially when the relationship is of this nature, but, we really didn't get along at first. They warned her, Envy's parents, warned her about marrying a mortal. Like me, but, you know, we were young. We weren't going to listen to what our parents had to say. And what we thought was going to happen to me, you know, being half-elf, only living to, you know, about a century, a little bit more, ended up happening to her. We thought that she was going to have to live the rest of her life without me, and it turns out ended up being the opposite. And because of how sudden that was and how fluid things are with the politics of the gates and being in contact with the other planes, we have kind of bonded, I guess, for lack of a better word, over the loss of her. We grieve her. They knew how much she loved me. They know how much I love her still. And I don't know. That has made them warm up to me. They miss her. I miss her. And really, that's all there is to it.
I believe you, Winnie. You don't need to justify anything to me. It's just... Well... All I'll say is that I would hope at this point that if there is some reason that we should be worried about the Fae acting Fae-ish, that you would trust Arcos and I enough to give us a warning. And maybe instead of rushing off into the woods, ye... trust your friends a bit to have your back.
I'll bring you both with me next time I run off. I promise. And she puts out her hand for you to shake.
Magnus, I think, just like ruffles her hair instead.
That is horrible. Okay.
Just looks like so pissed.
All right. Well, we want to make any pit stops before we head on in. I know this is kind of a lot, but you know, there's sights and people to see, and I don't know. Anything pique your interest?
I'll let you know if anything does, but. Frankly, this whole ordeal has gotten me a little on edge.
All right, then we can just get this over with. Move forward. I'm going to go to wherever my in-laws live. I don't know if there's like a palace or something here.
There's not. Not necessarily in the autumnal court. So... all of the courts have their kind of distinct vibes, and the autumnal court doesn't necessarily have, like, a palace. There are different families which have, tend to be in power, and there's, like, some of the larger estates or smaller estates in this area. And you would know, because this is a place where there aren't as many codified rules you're expected to follow. However, there are a myriad of social conventions that you benefit from adhering to. That because Tanvi was the one who wrote you, you should go to Tanvi first.
All right.
And follow up on that before showing up. And you also know that you probably shouldn't, even though they're your in-laws, since you're coming with like some kind of business, that you shouldn't show up to them unannounced and start business. Like, there's a little bit of a of back and forth you need to do.
Got it. I kind of, in my head, I was like, they're one family. They all live in the same place, but you know, that's not realistic. They're adults. So,
that isn't entirely unrealistic. Yeah. Like they do live near, and it's like multi-generational situation, but you kind of know, there's like a smaller, it's like one large estate with several living spaces on it.
Got it.
So, yeah. You have to be compact when you live for hundreds of years, or else the housing crisis gets out of control, which is why they should actually expand to that one place you're talking about with little conception of property, because that would actually be a great place to expand.
Yeah, you know what they should do? The place with no property that people probably live on, they should just expand their city into that.
Yeah, just go there.
Yeah, there's a reason why the city is like four stories. Like, there's four consistent stories of people moving and such.
They haven't thought about that in the thousands of years that they've been here. They haven't thought about moving over there.
Yeah,
just hadn't crossed their mind.
Why don't they just go to the other place? Are they dumb? Like,
seems so come on. So you head toward the V estate. And you know that Tenvi lives in, it's sort of a moderate It's basically a very nice tree house, to be honest. It sort of it's like there's a large tree at the center, and that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Parts of the rooms have been bored into and cut out of the tree. Others build up on the outside, and you know, Tenvi likes to sit up toward the top and brood.
That's so funny.
He doesn't call it brooding.
Yeah, but it definitely is.
But
okay.
All of his siblings call it brooding. Yeah. And one time you heard Galanvi reference it and Tenvi got upset.
And so he brooded about it, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll head up. I'll head up to him.
Yeah, you do. There, when you were new here, you used to see guards all throughout the city watching your every move. Now that you are a friend, you don't see them as much. Your companions, however, do. And you notice there seem to be these guards posted up outside of every door. And when I say you don't see them, I mean that there is literally like a sort of magical spell where you're basically able to very easily ignore them. You can like look at them. They're not entirely invisible to you. But unless you are actively trying to perceive the guards, you don't notice their presence at all. And that's like a part of you being like a member of the city. But the rest of you notice as you're moving in that there are guards stationed outside some of the buildings who are watching you as you approach the V estate. There are some of the gates. They seem fixed on both you and Arcos and Askarath. And as you begin to move, they don't pay any attention to Winnie. You cross through the gates. There's this wide, sprawling pathway that's not even paved. It's as though the roots of the trees themselves grew into a lattice and then sunk into the stone. And that's how smooth the way is. You wind yourself back for about a half minute or so before coming across this sort of treehouse. I would say monstrosity, except it is incredibly elegant and fantastical of building on itself, back on itself again and again. And this is, it has a lot more personality, I would say, than Tenvi does. And so it's interesting that he's so actively drawn to it. But there is, now you can go inside and take the stairs up. There is a teleportation accessibility situation, or there is also a rope ladder.
Whatever way is the most or the least like surprising, like if we teleport into whatever room he's in, I don't want to jump scare him.
I will say that like teleportation is like a 1-to-1 thing. So it would be like someone walking in a room behind you. It wouldn't, but
right.
And he would know it was there. However, if you want the most, like you do not want to surprise him at all. I don't know if you've ever climbed up a rope ladder, but it takes a minute. And it's going to be a second, and so he will probably notice. You'll probably be some creaking somewhere as it pulls against the branches.
Are we going to have to roll to climb if we do that?
No.
Okay.
Well, unless you want to.
Let's just take...
Well, you don't have to roll to climb. I can make them roll to climb. They don't climb shit. You climb trees all the time.
That's funny. Let's do that.
Yeah. Winnie goes up the rope ladder, and Winnie does not actively tell you about the other ways to get up to the house, I assume, so you should follow behind.
I'm used to being around trees, but I'm a bit heavy for climbing them. What is this, agility and athletics?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, God. Two, one. All right, we got a 5, boys.
Okay. Magnus, what did you get?
Oh no, I'm just gonna watch Arcos climb this thing for a while. I'll be up in a sec.
Yeah.
So, well, a four is technically a success. So what happens is Winnie begins climbing, and I will say for the sake of this, because Askareth got... Oh, wait, that explodes. That also explodes. A 26.
Yes, girl.
Oh, Let's go. God.
As Winnie effortlessly sails her lithe half-elven form gliding upward, Askareth, who has spent the past however many years treating every part of her life as an incredibly, like, every single thing she does is in its own way worship and a prayer, is effortlessly, despite her being so massive, fluidly ascends the rope ladder as if every part of her body knows exactly where to be and where to shift her weight.
That's so funny.
Following Askareth, and it's probably for the best you went after Arcos, you are able to ascend it, whereas Winnie and Askareth, like, they are able to lean into the waving of the rope ladder and go up. You're struggling a bit. It's a little inchwormy, dare I say. And it takes you a minute. Like, there's quite a bit of distance that Winnie and Askareth have to cover, but they go at about the same speed. They're kind of up there, and they're looking down, and you're still working your way up. But you don't fall, and you do get there. Magnus, how long into watching Arcos before you decide to figure out your own way up?
Can I just teleport to the top?
Maybe. You were told to be on very good behavior, so you can teleport to the top. However, it may or may not be received well. You do not know.
Imagine, like,
you're going to teleport to the house of a guy who does not know you, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm gonna wait till Arcos is done flailing his way to the top. And then instead, I'm going to, like, take the rope ladder. So the main thing that why a rope ladder is a pain in the ass is because it's not rigid. So you're just constantly swinging. So what Magnus is going to do is he's going to take the bottom of the rope ladder and, like, pull it out to him. And so it's, like, at a 45-degree angle going up. And then he's going to cast momentary stasis to freeze it in time and then just walk up after everybody else.
Easy enough. Mark that off.
I will. Take off a PowerPoint.
Right, you do wait. So. All right, and wait. As you do that, you feel the gaze of all of the of those two guards who are inside the estate staring down at you, a feeling you're familiar with, but they don't stop you as it doesn't seem you're doing anything actively harmful.
Yeah, I think Magnus makes eye contact with one of the guards and just, like, looks him in the eyes and gives him the sort of, like, I know that you know that I can see you see me sort of thing. And feel very smug as he calmly walks up the rope ladder up to Arcos and Askareth, who are both, like, like exercising.
Arcos is going to observe everybody climb this ladder like it's nothing and mumble to himself, study healing prayers, they said. You'd be cool, they said.
I appreciate when you care about hangovers very much, Arcos.
I think I took the wrong vows.
Yeah, they didn't make this place for giants. Sorry, buddy.
And as you say that, you turn, the rope ladder leads to, there's still a little bit more house above it, but it's this, like, wide sort of balcony that spins around, and you see a few feet away, Tanvi, looking out onto the city, making no note of your arrival.
I'm going to very slowly and cautiously, go sit next to him.
Oh, wait, he's not sitting. He's standing.
Oh, okay, I'll just stand next to him then.
You can sit next to him, though.
No, I'll stand.
You can kind of, like, sit.
I'm matching his energy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, the forearm sort of propped against the what is it, the railing of the balcony, staring out onto the city.
Thinking about his Sonic OCs.
And he says, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. Got your letter. And I'm here to visit, but also on a little bit of business. You know how it is.
Yes, I heard. What news do you have? Last I heard, you were at a volcano.
Right. Well, volcano didn't turn out quite the way we expected it to. So
very few things in this life do.
Yeah, you know, gotta expect the unexpected and all that. But we've gotten a few sort of promising leads, and now we're here to follow one of these leads with your mom, actually.
Oh. Interesting. You know, I worry.
About?
There's something wrong here. Something off, something deep and unsettling. And I don't quite know what it is. He kind of turns towards you and says, it's like it's staring right at me. I can't figure it out.
I'm gonna roll a notice / insight.
Mm-hmm.
To see if that's like specifically directed at me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna spend another Benny to roll again.
Yeah, go for it. You spend those Bennies. Yeah,
you got a lot of them. Ugh. Dropped one. 7.
Yeah. You look at him and you get the sense that he is not speaking about you in this moment.
Okay.
However, there is something about what he says that feels like it was meant for you, even if that wasn't his intent.
Right. Right, right, right. Cool. Yeah, I get what you mean. I can feel it too, I think. But before I forget, let me introduce you to my friends who I brought with me, and I'm going to go down and introduce everybody who followed behind.
Pleasure to make all of your acquaintances. We don't often get visitors here. The Autumnal Court. The lands of Ulfair can be dangerous for travelers such as yourselves.
You don't say.
I just said.
Yeah. Yes, yes, of course. Pleased to meet you as well.
Jorgen sends his regards to the Autumnal Court.
The Autumnal Court does not need the regards of gods, but I understand you meant that as a compliment and will accept it as such.
Okay, I see. We're really breaking it down piece by piece. Okay. Well, introductions are made. We'll let Winnie do the talking.
Yeah, you know, I got your letter before I figured out that I needed to speak with your parents. So, you know, just needed to stop by. Wanted to stop by. I saw Chelvy at the entrance. She's actually being entertained by two of our other guests, which are close to her age. So I think they're probably having fun. But yeah.
These two, do you think they are?
They're
strong. Are they capable?
They're capable. They're fine. They can handle themselves as long as, you know, Chelvy doesn't do anything crazy, but I don't expect that from her.
He kind of like looks like he's about to say something and then just smiles politely.
Like, she won't hurt them. Like, she might.
I don't think she has any intention of hurting them.
No. I don't think so, but...
Oh my gosh, what did I leave Julian with?
She's fine, or they're fine, I promise.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that you understand what that word means less and less.
All right, well, they'll be here when we pick them up.
Perhaps, mm-hmm. Could you tell me they'll be healthy, unharmed, unscathed?
You would have me make promises I cannot keep.
Yeah. I mean, that's all they the chose answer.
If they're already sick, then perhaps they are not healthy. They come back and you find them and you would hold me to that. Now I can, if you would like, ensure their safety, if you're willing to pay the price.
Don't answer that.
It's going to be a hard pass for me, my friend, but thank you for the generous offer.
You are very welcome. So you wish to speak. What sort of information are you looking for?
Well, we made a visit to the library of the House of Sar in Rel, and it gave us a word that...
Oh, is Lilith still there?
Yes, she is. She's wonderful as ever.
Interesting. And they gave you a word?
Well, the staff didn't give us a word, but we visited the Pavilion of Wonder, and we each got kind of a unique experience, but we were left with a term, a name of some sort that we think predates this current epoch of Kraith. So we are looking for someone possibly here in Ulfair that could, you know, give us a little bit of insight to that time. And we think your mom might have some information for us regarding that.
What word?
Mausolea. Not mausoleum. Mausolea.
As you say that, you noticed a slight change in his facial expression.
Do you know something?
No, I know precious little. But I've heard that word. In a dream.
In a dream? How long ago?
It was when the wind sang a different song. But I do not dream much, for I do not often sleep. But in that dream, Winnie, you were there.
Was it just me? What? Tell me about this dream. I want to know all about it.
I don't remember a whole lot. I don't have a lot of experience with the dreams of any kind. Sort of looks off into the middle distance.
Oh, wow. Get this guy a fucking beer.
Right. Well, I'll... Thank you for that information. If you remember anything else, please let me know.
What I can say is that there is not much even my mother knows of that word. I did not know what the significance was, but hearing it again, I do wonder what that means.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out. So if we find anything interesting, I'll be sure to let you know. I'll keep you all updated.
Puts a hand on your shoulder. I'm so thankful for that, Roman.
Now, you know, you don't need to call me by that name. You can just call me Winnie.
I can call you many things.
That's true. All right, well, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we head off? Is there anything we can do for you here while we're here?
Yes, actually. And he goes and produces a small list and hands it to you.
I take it, yeah.
Some errands that he wanted to do around town.
Jesus, okay.
So you can take care of those for him now.
Okay. All right, well, we'll try to get this done before we leave. Is it time sensitive, any of these?
Well, all things are sensitive to the passage of time.
Right, but like, is there a priority?
Even mountains will one day be blown to valleys, the rivers washing their memory into the sea. But if you could do this in the next day or so, that would be great.
Winnie, in the politest way possible, I think I physically need to leave this man's presence.
What are you talking about? I think he's pretty cool. Don't you think he's pretty cool?
Tanvi, it's been great seeing you. And I'll do my best to make sure this all gets done.
Tanvi grabs both of your hands in his and says, I always treasure our talks, Rowan. Squeezes.
I do as well. She squeezes your hands too. And we'll be off.
He turns around and goes back to looking over the city.
Back to brooding.
Yeah, and you guys take the stairs down now.
Yeah.
I think we.
Yeah. They've been there though.
I think we can all agree that guy was awesome.
Yeah, Tenvi's not the most exciting person, but probably the best out of the V family to be taking the throne next. So, you know. Strengths and weaknesses, I guess.
I can never tell by the way these people talk if they're 20 years old or 200 years old. He both sounds like like a child that just picked up a philosophy book or somebody that is truly so bored that they just are depressed.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. They're all an enigma in their own way. You get used to it.
It's like if Ennui was a fashion brand and he was constantly modeling for it. That's what his attitude is like.
Sure. Yeah, you can see, I mean, comparing him to Chelvy, you'd think they're completely different families. They're not all like that, I promise.
Aye, well.
Envy was just like that. You're just lying. Envy you're was seeing like it through a nice glasses. Mix
between the both of them. She's the older sister. She's not as boring as the oldest brother.
But so how old is he really?
I wrote them all to be like normal mortal ages.
Yeah, he's like 35.
Yeah.
So he's that brooding and jaded at 25.
Or like the elven equivalent of 35.
Yeah, but also like, also keep in mind.
Time is weird there.
Time is weird here.
They're all.
But yeah. No, but he's. I mean, people here would think that he's like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, he's so dark and mysterious.
I love him.
I think he's great, personally. I like him.
Thank you. Thank you, Brennan. Thank you so much for that.
I love all your NPCs, but Magnus is just...
He's got Shadow the Hedgehog energy, which is my favorite character.
They can't all be Lilith. They can't all be mean lady.
I am now just dying to know what the other one that we haven't met yet is like. Because there's a fourth one.
Yeah, as you all, as you head down into the estate, you go to where you think Mirovi would be waiting, not necessarily waiting, although you've never gone to seek her out where it didn't seem like she knew you were looking for her and was waiting, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And you go to this area of the house where it is quiet. There is a small, like, rectangular room. And she is seated. And there is a single candle in the center. And around the edge of the room, maybe like a foot wide, there's this trench of crystal clear water that you have to cross to get in, and she is seated with her eyes closed, her legs crossed, this beautiful older elven woman wearing all of these sort of draping robes, and the candle flame in front of her is sticking straight up in an incredibly narrow, long, like 2-foot high flame like a little column. And she's taking a deep breath as you sort of wander throughout different areas of the house, gently, not like you're obsessively looking for her, but as many things in the Twilight Wilds, you can sort of let your heart bring you to where you're looking next. And you arrive at the doorway. She doesn't make any motion or movement to indicate your presence, but you see a slight smile come upon her face.
Winnie very quietly says, "Morovi," and she does a very deep, like, knightly bow.
Even though her eyes are closed, you can see in the same way as when they're open, when you bow, she gives a nod, so you can sort of stand yourself back up. "You bring friends."
"I do. This is Magnus and Arkos and Askarath."
Askarath sort of models the bow that you did, and Merovi smiles a bit more, and Askarath stands. "I hear you're speaking of words found in dreams."
Yeah, dreams that happen here, weirdly. Has Tanvi told you about it?
"Yes. A while ago, the clouds in the moonlight took a different shape."
"That's interesting. Do you have any insight you could share with us?"
She opens her eyes, and as she does, the candle flame almost shoots back down to just a normal sort of glow, as if whatever she was focusing on has dropped. And she stands gracefully, one single motion rising as if someone were pulling her head up like a puppet, one single string. And she says, "Inside. My dear Rowan, of course, but first, you've been traveling so long. Let's get all of you food, and then we can talk more about these dreams and these futures and fortunes. Welcome to my house. Winnie, how did you let them come so far without getting tea? You must all be famished. Come on to the kitchen. Let's make sure you have something in you. And then we can talk about whatever destinies await. All right?"
"Of course. Amazing." She kind of lets out a deep exhale, just kind of letting go of all of the formality. "Thank you for having us. I hate to kind of drop in unannounced, but it's been too long."
"It's been," and she looks at you a little seriously, "far too long, Winnie." And as you all head to the kitchen, she sort of like very gently holds your chin toward her to turn you to her as she says that. She just as gracefully lets go and ushers you all behind her to the kitchen.
I don't know. I just feel like having a Sonic OC is something that you personally have in your life as a 26-year-old.
I mean, that is such a fucking read. What the fuck?
Isn't that a crazy call out? Yeah, that but it's so completely mean. Accurate.
Right? And OC hog.
That is probably the meanest thing you've ever said to me ever. See, I hyper fixate on a character in Sonic that I feel like is a good substitute for actually having an OC.
Okay, just going to take random guess.
You're not going to know. Tails. What?
I said Rouge the Bat.
No.
She's, why? Okay, that's like a negative read of Han, that you think she'd be obsessed with Rouge.
I mean, she serves, like, of course.
I mean, yeah, but like, that's not the kind of character that you're ever into.
No, yeah, the character I am into is in the comics, so like, she's not in any games or anything.
Yeah, we would only get it if we were real Sonic fans.
It's the real.
She's been like, my
it's
profile the... picture before.
Is that so? Which character? Yeah. What's her name?
Her name's Tangle. Tangle the lemur. Oh, she's incredible. Course. I love her.
Oh my god, this is the most Han character I've ever seen
right?
in my life.
Right? She's everything to me. I love her.
Oh, that's going
in. Wait, what's her name?
Tangle.
Don't worry. I'm ahead of you.
She even looks like you.
I love her so much.
You are a fucking furry.
No, liking Sonic did not make
it's
you
exactly
furry.
What a furry would say in the same tone of voice too.
I have friends who are furries, but I myself am not one.
Yeah. Checks out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If we've just decided the rest of this episode is just gonna be bully hand, then like yeah, sure, fine.
I don't think it's bullying. I
believe you.
Rob is saying it with a negative connotation every time he says something.
Hey, no judgment about furries.
He's just a lawyer. That's just his tone.
I'm sorry, man. Didn't mean to embarrass you by your Sonic fandom. Look, I drew Sonic OCs when I was like 9.
I did it probably until I was like 16, so.
Yeah, I got really into it. Rolling around at the speed of sound. Yeah, I love that shit. I've got City Escape memorized. I'm in there.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last like regular like story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode as we always do, and then we're going to have a podcast postmortem wrap up, whatever. So as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, that's what we're going to do. Which also means this is going to be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And, next week's gonna be the very last story episode, season 4 finale, and then, I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are gonna happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy, and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're gonna try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick, but if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute, but they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, that's it. I think that's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because I don't know. It's almost over. Thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.